work that you haven't figured out. Because there's nothing that has ever come out of Tesla's work that is not now perfected on your place. And it'll get you killed. That doesn't mean that you can't use some of the devices that were brought forth by Tesla and have been taken from the market so that you can't use them to get some of those and make them workable on a very limited scale. I have to run along, you know, sweeping up the debris behind you too. And so let it be known, I don't know what was ever worked out, but I don't want the lecture on the Tesla the frequencies. I don't even know what to say here to keep, for goodness sakes, wrong interpretations. There's some people here working and need some information. And the only way that I have to get it through is apparently through Dharma.
Let me turn the tape.
And I know that when I write something and then I interrupt and I say, well, now I want patent number so-and-so supplied. Well, I don't even want the world to know where we get it. Some of the things we have access to, some I have to make available. I never, ever want any of Tesla's patents sent out with anything that I ever do, except to specific ones. There is nobody utilizing anything that he did properly. And even the scientific minds are coming to total brick walls. Because everything got integrated with such as Newton and Einstein, and it's wrong. And I am going to give the clues to the ones that are seeking and will know what I mean. But I'm not going to give advantage to such as ones at US&P working on energy devices after what they have done to Walter Russell's work. They want Walter Russell's work as applied to light and Tesla's theories and Tesla's inventions. But they want to haul us into court. No, thank you. Their intentions are incorrect and I will not aid and abet them. And Dr. Young can take it from me right now. He doesn't have to figure it out and explain it. When we do a scientific writing, and it may not seem quite right to him, I don't want it explained to those people out there. We are playing to a general audience and to a specifically highly intelligent group waiting for that information, and they'll understand it and they'll be able to sort it out. If I have made glaring errors, I would appreciate being corrected. I am perfectly capable of making errors, and certainly in speech and rewriting something. But nobody has the responsibility here, unless asked, to make it totally understandable to every member of the United States citizenry. I don't have any other way to do it. I just don't have any other way to do it. Because some of those things have to be developed, and they have to be developed under my nose so that I can watch them and keep you out of trouble. Now, speaking of trouble, I want to do what I can to begin to cover some people. I would appreciate it if you would read the disclaimer that came from Newby and Weeks. I want it on the tape record for them. They mean it, just as nobody here ever had access to any attorneys, any phone calls, any eyewitness, any experience with what Ron Jackson was doing. Neither did they. Is that wise? Of course not. But we have to play by whatever's going on, don't we, in a game. What happens that I object to is that when we begin to pull away, we get pounced on, denounced, taken off all the lists. Well, I'm glad, because now they're going to have to close that fax network because they send all that stuff out to everybody. And now they're out of funds. Well, how can a trillionaire be out of funds? What it means is that Newby, who didn't have anything, Rex, who did have something but quit a good job and now has nothing but debt, and was Ron Jackson sucked into something, or did Ron Jackson suck people in? I'm not going to comment on that. I have an agreement with Ron Jackson that none of you have to know a thing about. So anything that I may say does not relieve him of his obligation or the people above him who are also playing nasty little games. Well, I can play nastier games, and I'm doing it. And if it doesn't appear so to you, be grateful. I have said nothing is going to succeed when you're blackmailing somebody else. Agreements are going to be kept or the whole operation is going down. That's that simple. You're going to start keeping your obligations and your promises and your contract with God. Everybody hear me? I didn't say Sir Jesus. I said God. Christed God. You do not manipulate his hosts. You do not take, and then you wait, and I'm going to get. And then I'll shut him out. What is he going to do about it? I'm not even sure he exists. He probably doesn't. Wrong. I most certainly exist. And I have a mission to do. And it isn't that kind of a mission. That is just a pain in the neck that we've got to get through. I am extremely, extremely distressed about Betty. They felt they needed to get married. For goodness sakes, will you ever learn that marriage is in the sight of God? But she has made a blunder to end them all. They had to get married. Now, what does that mean? It means that every debt the man has, she is responsible for 50% of it. So if he has run up a debt of several million dollars, half of that is going to be hers to pay. Even if they got divorced today, which I would advise. I'm serious. I would advise a legal divorce today. But then, once again, who listens to me? If you won't take a tablespoon of Gaia Gold three times a day because it's too big a bother, I don't think you're going to run down and get a divorce today. Somehow, you guys think this is more security blanket. The greatest security blanket you will ever have for marriage is honor. Is honor. And if you have no honor, respect, or love, then don't get together, period. It is a sexual thing that will hurt you both. And still, I don't advise a legal document, because then you've got that on top of it to hurt you. If you love each other and you are committed to each other and you stand responsible for each other, it doesn't matter whether you have a legal document or not. So for goodness sakes, let's get with a program. And that would be my advice to Betty. And it's frankly my advice to Ron. Don't think that Ron is enjoying himself. I can promise you, he is not. So let's take their protection a little bit farther, and let's get it out on this tape, and then we can run it in the paper for them.
Maybe before we start on the disclaimer, Diane has located the information about the little earthquake.
Okay.
It was a 4.0, epicenter 8 miles west northwest of Mojave.
Mm-hmm. Where? Mojave.
Put it right in the middle of wind farms.
Right on the Garlock.
Right.
I'm sorry, I don't care what they tell you, it is right on the Garlock between you. Let's go ahead.
That's all for that.
Now, that should relieve the pressure on the Garlock Fault when it shifts. It should shift, but it should spread out to either side of you. Read me the number again. I want everybody to hear the number.
4.0.
We're in the range. We're in the range.
And they have two designations here. One is an MLG. Well, there's more than that, I guess. MGM. Let's see. I guess those two different designations. This is an MLG, 4.0 MLG. 8 miles northwest of Mojave.
Well, it's relatively shallow.
7 kilometers depth.
That's shallow in your terminology.
This letter is dated December 28th, 1995.
Everybody can exhale too. When we have this kind of a strike, and you see they're hitting in my territory, and that's why I said I don't like surprises. But anybody trying to surprise me on any faults around here can only do one thing. That means that we will shore up the shields again. And so if you get those booms, just don't worry about them. Because we will shore up the shield again, because there are other things planned, or you wouldn't have one of those. That will help distribute the pressure in this area. This will help stabilize this area. But I am really, really pissed off. Go on.
Commander?
Yes.
We're short a page on the David Newby stuff, so I'm going to ask Al to see if he can get the other page from Rick. I'm sorry, I can't read that. The first page was the one that's missing.
Well, shall we move on to a discussion about this? You see, I have asked that two things be brought here today. My writing yesterday, because I want to acknowledge Dr. Brock, who is publisher of this.
What is it?
It says, Keystone, the New World Order, the Holocaust Dogma of Judaism. And you will find that as we go into discussions, when you see this Hebrew sign, this one, do all of you see it? Looks like a hook. That is called Vav, V-A-V, or Vav. Actually, in Hebrew, it's even pronounced differently than that. But that would be your pronunciation of it. It basically is the sixth symbol, or it is the key letter that holds all of the alphabet of Hebrew language together. And you will find that as we unfold it, and as Dr. Brock has published, this is by Ben Weintraub. This is a Jewish author who has taken much of what we have written very, very seriously and has done their own investigation into basically what we started unraveling here. And Dr. Brock wrote and asked for review of this book, and I have held it, and my apologies for that, because I wanted to get further into our subject of the New World Order Church, or the Church of the New Order, so that we could begin to integrate things out of here into that outlay being offered by Mr. Bayer and get a little bit more insight. I have a problem because I don't want to offend anyone. And I have had to respond both with my feeling of appreciation, gratitude, and honors for doing this. With, if you don't move on into also uncovering the garbage, taking it off of the Christian element, you see the first or second or third page is really dedicated to Jesus Christ. Now that's fine. If you want to, in your mind, just label Christ by that name. But if you take it literally, that's incorrect. Jesus was constructed just exactly like the Holocaust has been constructed. You see, you have to have, when you deal with the subject of the Holocaust, why do they tinker around with numbers? And I have asked that we watch this, which is going to be an interview with Dr. Pieper and Dave Cole, a young Jewish man who very proudly presents himself as an atheist, who went and interviewed Auschwitz people with their gas chambers, etc., and found it to be a total farce, everything about it. But Zionism has to have all of these return less 6 million. Numbers. It's all in the numbers. You have to present what fits the prophecies. So you had to have 6 million Jews eradicated. Where are we?
We have it.
It is called a declaration affidavit of truth. On or about the third week of August, 1995, Ron Jackson asked if myself and David Newby would help answer phone calls relating to a damage claim program called Farm Claims, as well as the Bergervin program, a privately set up damage claim. He stated that he was approached by the Treasury of the United States to help facilitate the claim process because of his extensive contact with the people throughout the nation. The agreement between him, the Treasury, and the Bergervin people, as it was related and understood by me and David, was that Ron was approached and told by the Treasury and Bergervin claims people to ask the people who had been in the farm claims and Bergervin programs in the past to send a copy of their claim cover sheet along with a $200 filing fee for farm claims. The Bergervin fee was $300 for a claim over $10 million and $250 for a claim under $10 million. The administrative fee was to be stapled to the upper left corner and mailed to Ron at the address of Post Office Box 4014, Pahrump, Nevada, 89041. Ron was instructed to transfer the individual claims into groups of 500, just as he received them, and transfer these bundles to a mailing envelope to send to the Treasury and Bergervin addresses, who would verify the claims on their computer file, process their claim, and pay out the claims to the people involved. Ron was instructed to send through 2,500 claims in this fashion to the Treasury and 500 claims to Bergervin. He told me that the agreement was that he, or us, would not receive any monetary compensation of any kind from this service, either from the claim filing fee sent in or from the Treasury or any other source. Neither myself nor David nor Ron, to our knowledge, ever received a penny for answering these calls, and our efforts have only been in good faith to resolve the claims program as we understood it. Ron asked that myself and David Newby help answer the phone calls to inform people of what the Treasury instructions were as to how the claims were to be sent in and what the Treasury filing fee was. We agreed to answer the phones and give people these instructions. The people called in, mostly from word of mouth, as to the claims being paid out through Ron. At no time did myself or David Newby call any person or solicit any money or participation in the farm claim program. Neither did I ever hear Ron call anyone to solicit money or participate in the claim programs. All that was ever done was the passing on of instructions to those who wished to participate in the Treasury offering, and not once was anyone coerced or enticed to participate. Those that sent in claims did so on their own account. We answered phone calls relating to the method people were to use to file and send the claim information in and no more. Ron received and handled all the claim mailings and filing fees. Neither David or myself ever saw him open any letters from claimants. One day I did see two large priority mail floppy mailers, about 1.5 to 2 inches thick, that were to be mailed that day. I did not look for an address on the mailers, but understood they were to be mailed to the Treasury, as Ron was originally instructed to do. Ron was in contact with a person in the Treasury on a regular, at least weekly, basis, and would relay to myself and Dave the information as to how many claims had been paid out and when they expected to be done with the 2,500 claims. Actually, it ended up being a small amount over 2,600 claims that Ron sent through with the okay of the Treasury. We, acting in good faith on the information provided to us by Ron through the Treasury, relayed what we were told to the claimants that called in asking what the latest information was regarding the payouts. The Treasury apparently pushed the deadline ahead several times, but for 3 to 4 weeks in the October-November 1995 era, They consistently told Ron, as he told us, that all the claims, that is the 2,600 plus out of the 118,432 claims the Treasury stated they had, would be paid out by November 15th. Neither myself or David Newby ever talked directly to the Treasury by phone at any time, and we were not present when Ron talked to them while we were in Nevada. 2 to 3 weeks after November the 15th, 1995, we were finding out that out of a group of 12 to 15 people, claimants, that were in regular contact with us the whole time, had not been paid. Early on in the program, at least in the first 4 to 6 weeks, Ron stated that he confirmed by phone calls received that several claims paid out to people. During the 3 weeks after November 15th, Ron stated that he had talked to the Treasury at least 3 times, and each time they confirmed that they had sent the last batch of 782 claim checks out to the people. The Bergervin program told Ron they planned to have all their claims he sent through, which numbered approximately 482 or so, by December 15th, 1995. About the second week of December, Ron told us that he confronted the claims people who admitted to him that they were told by their superiors to lie to him about having all the claims out and that the government shutdown did not affect the programs. He said they admitted that the claims were stopped with the shutdown, after all, and they were not paying anything, at least through the end of December 95. They apparently said they would start paying claims in January 96 and open up a phone number that Ron had been calling them, a person named Rosemary, on in January also. This phone number, 202-238-2412, is presently recorded as being out of service or invalid. At no time during the past months involving the claims have myself or David Newby knowingly misrepresented ourselves, Ron Jackson, the Bergervin people, or the U.S. Treasury. We have only relayed information as we were informed through Ron that the Treasury or Bergervin relayed to him. We at no time solicited or asked for any compensation, money, or favor of any kind from the claimants regarding their filing fees or payoffs, nor have we ever received any money, favor, or compensation of any kind from any source. We have acted in complete good faith and dealt with the facts as we believe them to be and have knowingly misrepresented nothing in this matter. If we have been given false information from any source, we were not aware of it and certainly would not give people false information if we knew about it. We never saw or handled any money from claimants filing fees to the Treasury or Bergervin programs, and never saw Ron handle the fees either. We see no evidence that any fees have gone to or been used by anyone or in any inappropriate way. The Treasury and Bergervin people have apparently admitted they have lied and are not honoring the contract they have with the claimants, who have acted in good faith, to have these damages paid to them. They have also damaged us, who are merely caught in between the lies and the people who claim rightful damages. Signed, Rex Weeks and David A. Newby.
I would suggest that you call them and ask them to go before a notary or someone else. Add a paragraph to the end of that. The preceding is, to the best of our knowledge and ability to reconstruct, correct, under penalty of perjury. Then it becomes a legal document. This is in no way wishing to shift off onto Ron some bigger responsibility than he already holds for this. But it's unthinkable not to have everybody else completely covered. And the declaration itself has zip meaning. If it is not done before witnesses, it doesn't necessarily have to be a notary. It's just simpler to do it that way, to go before a notary, someone with legal authority to have a signature witnessed. And if it doesn't bear the under penalty of perjury clause, it's tossed out. And since our attorney's not here, we need to do that. Since we met, I would like to leave that. And there are two or three things that I would like to do before we take a break, and then we'll. I would like to just go immediately to this Holocaust tape and then read from yesterday, because I want to discuss a little bit the Christian Zionist elements here. But I want to tell you that after we left here, and I'm sorry for ones that were not able to attend the meeting. This is why we try to have them on Sunday, but when we have people in at various times where we have to have a business meeting, as we did with Wally Gentleman, I really had to meet with him, and it's more fun if all of us can share. I know that my scattering over all of your heads that you would think of someone worked. We have entree to Christopher Reeve through his wife. But on the other hand, the one that we most want to work with would be someone like Robin Williams, who is attached to Christopher as a very, very close friend. And if Robin has to have some realization of my input, I've got a few secrets I can dump on him. I rather like doing that from time to time. That would allow him to recognize my own participation. But it's unnecessary. We do have an attorney who has now left his law firm and will be working with us pretty consistently, although not here, not moving here, Mr. Brad Ellie. Unfortunately for foolish Mr. Abbott, he stirred up Mr. Ellie's law firm, tried literally to get Ellie fired. Well, Ellie wanted to leave anyway, but what a nice opportunity to make hay with one document. So that sort of legal escapade, I guess, would be a good term for George Abbott. It looks like he's going to get himself crosswise if he doesn't end up in prison. He certainly is going to end up undoubtedly disbarred. Nothing has been done about charges to the Bar Association made prior to now, because already he had been sanctioned. And for them, a sanction means penalized. To me, sanction means a blessing. So here you already have your Zionist contradiction of a perfectly good word. But he has been penalized. He is one noted for harassment claims, unethical claims, mistreating clients, drinking during working hours, and has been reprimanded by the Bar of Nevada. So another time to prove these, he's going to be in serious trouble. Well, I'm a little torn, because now Mr. Horton and Mr. Green have joined with Mr. Abbott in their idiocy, and I really feel like letting him go and hang them all. But then I'm getting out of patience. I am serious when I say I would like to see John sue Abbott. He was listed, and he wasn't even a party. There's no way to get around the abuse of Eleanor and John Swafer by George Abbott. Leon Fort is just a pawn in that. I don't know why he doesn't bring a suit to stop this. Because so far, Abbott, in none of his paperwork, has even recognized that he received $40,000 from the Institute. And they formed a conspiracy to take as much money from the Institute as they could without signing any agreement. And that came right from Leon. And this man is weekly filing more and more motions. for oral hearing, for putting the institute in receivership. Now, I know that Gene wants to start some kind of an improper thing. But for goodness sakes, why don't we use the tools we've got? I don't understand this. Wait. And then on the final day, rush in there and file something that only extends it. So guess what we have to face? That is the strategy of all lawyers. Now, I believe that Gene sees that at some point you're going to run out of money. And he's going to get hurt if that happens. But all the rest just barely covers something so that it goes on another infinite period of time. I don't understand why somebody doesn't get in touch with Eleanor. For goodness sakes, doesn't anybody talk to anybody? Can't Leon see what's happening? Can't Eleanor see what's happening? He has taken their powers of attorney and he is destroying them. He will strip them of every cent. And it goes on and on and on and on. I'm going to tell you, John. I want you to file a paper, and I want you to hit Gene Dixon with it, and I want you to do it. Probably all you will have to do is file it. And if Gene doesn't have time to do it, then sit down with Rick and Karen. They have misrepresented you. This man named you in the first, well, then the next time he took it off because he couldn't get away with it. But he does continue to get away with everything. And so his new thrust is to hurt the new attorney. This has got to stop. And if the legal profession lets him get away with it, for goodness sakes, must you tag along behind the legal profession like little puppy dogs? Get up on your feet and stop this thing. What did he... All of you should know this. What do you suppose Abbott did after Leon and Ann wrote to him and said, "We want an accounting"? He did not give them an accounting. He put another motion into court charging our side with misrepresentation of his intent in Billings. And wants an oral argument in the court so that he can point out and explain the discrepancies in his billings. You know, it was charging you $150 an hour to do nothing, but it showed up on his billing $180 minimum, and he even had the wrong years for his services. But it goes. And so you're into it another $2,500 minimum while lawyers play their game. Now, I don't know what Leon expects to get out of all this, but what Abbott has done is build up, certainly, the bills for all of these side things so that it adds up more than the $40,000 he stole. And all it would take is one legal document entered in that court from Leon.
Do you need one from me too?
Yes, I put it on this tape so that you would, yes, one's in here will remind you of this tomorrow. Yes, it's time you made a statement. If it's no more than a declaration, it all has to now be heard in the court.
Which court? Nevada?
It's in Nevada. That's where they're struggling over this. He's still trying to retrieve whatever was... Good gracious. It's hard to... I won't bore you with it, John. He's still trying to get what you thought you had way back before you even had Taya. This man is a criminal. And he will probably sue us more for me having said that right here. You know, Ecker, Ecker, Dorma, Hatton. Hatun. Pardon me.
Outweigh them, just let it go on until they get tired.
They'll get every cent you have plus every cent Eleanor has, but you can't outweigh them. He doesn't have filing fees. He is a lawyer. It doesn't cost him anything to keep this thing going into absolute eternity. So our side has to bring it to a close, or it will never be brought to a close. And they will say, well, there is no way he can come back against this one. Oh, yes, there is, because he writes a new thing. Writes a new law, a new regulation.
I didn't know I was going to get trapped again by that bunch of banditos.
You didn't get trapped again. You're still trapped.
I didn't even invite him to sue. It was Eleanor's desire.
Well, you're going to have to make a statement about it under penalty of perjury. So let's move on. Marilyn and Ed. I don't know whether to have a chorus sing happy birthday now or wait till the break. Everyone enjoyed Marilyn's flowers, except Marilyn. But it doesn't mean that anyone loves her less. Now, there is no way that I or you have to offer the gratitude and appreciation that these two people have offered you. They have made it available, possible, and through some contacts that EJ had made, and some of you know Jack Donahue, but that has nothing to do with this story, but through Tom Haight. Some of you may remember, I doubt that many of you would. He flies in and out of Mexico and around with humanitarian missions. I will leave it there. They have made it possible for you to have the finest tractor in this valley. It is not new, and I think I don't want to use blackmail as any kind of term, but you got it at blackmail price. It is very large. It is top quality. It has four-wheel drive rather than the little tinies in the front. It has monsters on all four of its feet.